one message. All of us who are called by God, one message, that if this particular message is not proclaimed, we have missed what God has called us to do. I mean, we can go into the history of Scripture. We can learn all we want about the background of each one of the generations, which we must study and must know about. But in all of that, if we miss preaching and teaching this one message, every time we get the opportunity to stand and to proclaim God's word, then we have missed an opportunity to glorify God for someone who is out there looking for hope. God set our soul afire for the good news. It's the good news that I must preach every time I stand to proclaim God's word. Now I know that the messages all have different titles and all of this. But frankly, folks, you hear the same message every Sunday. And I dare not change it. For the Lord had called us to victory. He did not call me to defeat. He did not call Harry to defeat. He did not call Randy to defeat. He did not call you to be defeated. He called us to victory. Why, we even sang a song, Victory in Jesus. And we witnessed the picture in Revelation, John the Revelator, letting the church know. He says, I'm standing, knocking at the door of your church. Let me back in. For without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Without the message of the good news. What's the good news? Death, burial, resurrection. That's the good news. I mean, that's the news that ought to turn every heart to pure love, because that's exactly what took place for you and me. Pure love went to the cross. Pure love took my sins and yours. Pure love took my punishment. Pure love went to the tomb. And pure love could see that the world could not hold him. For God the Father came looking for his Son. And the stone was rolled away. That's the good news. The veil was torn. And the temple, representing that you and I, because of Jesus, the good news, you and I were given the opportunity to go direct to the Father through the name, through the power, through the hope, through pure love, and ask God to give us direction in each step. You and I may fight those steps. You and I may grumble and fuss about those steps. But the steps that God has called you and I to take are steps he said, I called you to do this, therefore I will complete my calling, God says, through you. I can't complete my calling. I have no authority over my calling any more than anyone else does. When God calls, you answer. Now your answer may be, I'm not listening. Your answer may be no. But we so often lose out on hope. We so often miss blessings Because we said no to God. God, I cannot see any way whatsoever for me to do what you call me to do. Good. Then you won't mess it up. God says, I want you to know something. I'm ready and willing to set your soul afire. But if you do not open the door of your heart, if you will not open the door of your church and won't let me come in, what's your heart going to be burning with? Knowledge from man? Well, we've already noticed that doesn't work. Wisdom from God is the only hope any of us have through the love, perfect love. Folks, listen to me. You and I cannot comprehend perfect love. We can love one another. But here's what God has done. And this is difficult for us to understand, especially with someone else. There is no doubt in my mind that each and every one of us, of the listening audience in 130-some countries today, in a local radio broadcast, in a church. You know what God has done for us that is something that was never done for any other of His creation? He created us individually. You got it right when you say about someone, boy, they broke a mold when they had that one, didn't they? Yep. Because you see, the mold in which you and I were created was formed in the hands of God. And here's what He did. God has given you and me individually an individual challenge throughout our life. The temptations I have, you won't have. You will not be tempted in the same way that I'm tempted, or in the same way anybody else around you is tempted. As a Christian, I've learned that. It's amazing what you learn just before you leave the body, isn't it? As a Christian, I know. Individually, God is watching me and you. And God says, Larry, this is what I expect and want you to be doing. I cannot give my ministry to someone else. I cannot assign it to someone else. Neither can you. You're handpicked by God. Even with the particular temptations. And yet, how we fuss and argue about a brother or a sister that has fallen due to some temptation, but we try to keep ours quiet. God says, no, you're an individual. But I want you to know something, Larry. I will walk you through every situation in your life. All I want you to do is believe. That's the message. Believe. Believe what, Lord? Believe me. Believe me, Larry. And all I have to do in my own life is look back at my life and see where I pull the reins out of God's hand. And the next time I see myself is God pulling me out of the ditch of life. You know what the good news tells me? God doesn't give up on me. He doesn't give up on you. God says, no, I've called you for a purpose. But you need to believe that. For if your soul is not set on fire with belief that Jesus Christ is exactly who He claims to be, the Son of Almighty God, the propitiation for my sins, for me. Jesus did not die on that cross to give me an excuse. He died on that cross for me because He loved me. And said, Larry, do you believe I love you? And then you know what the battle is? Lord, I know you love me that much. I'm sorry, but I don't love you near that much. I will still look after the things that are from the human desire, wants and needs. And yet, Lord, I have no needs. So the only thing that is left are the wants. So why won't I, Father, give my heart to you totally? I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit, for He lives in me. And I know that God loves me, for if He did not, surely I would be dead. Long ago, if my faults and failures had any authority over my eternal salvation, I would be spending eternity in hell where I belong. For that is the focus of the world. Give me, get, get. Yet the Lord said, believe in me, Larry. Why would I not believe in him? Nothing good has ever come of my life other than what he has done within my life. But God said this to us. Your life is according to my time. You got that? It's not your time. The main times we ever look for, breakfast time, lunch time, and supper time. I know that from preaching. As soon as you look at that watch, preacher, I'm hungry. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you nourishment. Oh, you remember when he was talking to his disciples? And they're looking, Lord, you need to eat. He said, I've had food you know not of. And what did they do? They got in an argument with each other. Did you bring him something? We're all going to do this together. Does anybody know where he got something to eat? And they walked with Jesus. Do we not witness the same thing today in our own life? Quit getting so nosy with everybody else's life. We got our hands full right here, folks. Do you know I know my calling? Do you know that I know my responsibilities? And do you know that I'm the only one that has to answer for them? Do you realize how many people, and you may be, there's many of us out there, that desire to have the hope and the peace of mind. I just need a little peace of mind. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You cannot get peace of mind until you have peace of heart. You will cry. You will feel broken. You will find yourself pushed away from all those who were your friends. And you will think that you stand out there all alone. But you're not. Because I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And it is through that belief that I find hope. Jesus Christ was just beginning his ministry in the human form. Publicly, Mark chapter 1. John the Baptist, who God said, I'm sending before you. To prepare the way for you, son. John the Baptist has completed his ministry. Jesus is coming on the scene. And in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 verse 15, Jesus wants to tell them something. They've already been listening to John. And John pointed his finger at Jesus. You got it? He's the one. It was John who told him, I know you've been following me, but here's what I want you to understand. He is here. Therefore, I must recede and he must proceed. I must fall back now, for this is the one in whom I've spoken. And Jesus looks at the crowd and he says, the time is come. See, God does not mess with our timetable. Now, Lord, I want you to take care of this problem. I pray to you. You got 3 minutes or I'm going to have to do something else. That's not God, nor is that belief. That's doubt. wanting God to prove himself to me. God owes none of us an explanation for anything. He said, I've given you life. How bad are you hurting? All we have to do is turn the television on and look throughout the world. That's hurt. That's hurt. And unless America gets back to the foot of the cross, we will be part of that hurt. You will see hunger. You will witness barbarous acts, which we already see in our own communities. A father beat a one-month-old child his own in our own neighborhood. And then I hear from so many, oh, they have issues. Yes, sometimes you need to understand people will give up their right to live in a free society. God said, I've cut you loose, though. I want you to stand up for those children. I want you to stand up for my word. And I want you to teach them something. Because the time has come. The kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, is near. And then he says, repent and believe. Repent and believe what? The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So the great sin is not to believe the good news. You got it? Repent and believe the good news. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Outside of that hope, there is no hope. Outside of that freedom, there is no freedom. There is no power. There is no authority. So all of us called by God must preach the same message. The good news. God said, I want you to believe. Jesus' best friend dying, Lazarus. He waits 4 days. We know the story. He gets there. Martha. Talking to him. Lord, had you been here, our brother would not have died. And yet, in John 11, verse 26, it is where Jesus is speaking to Martha and said, Martha, do you not understand that I am the resurrection and the life? Actually, there's a back and forth. Yeah, Lord, I know. I know. At the end time that there we will have a resurrection. Listen to what Jesus told her. Whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. What was the message? Believe in me. Believe in me. Don't believe in a teacher. Believe in me. And if the preacher dare preach that you can believe in your good works, your good looks, all your wealth, or anything else, get away from them, because they're not mine. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Woo! Listen to that. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus is in the tomb stinking. As they said, surely he stinks, Lord. There he is in that tomb. And then Jesus asked her a special question. Do you believe? Do you know what problems he had with his own disciples? After he came down, they took him from the cross and put him in the tomb. And the women went to the tomb, go back to give him a message. He's risen. He's not there. Do you know that they would not even open the door for him? Woman, you're crazy. Well, she must not have been very crazy. God chose the woman in which to bear his son. And the woman went to give the message. And a bunch of us hard-headed men sitting in there, whatever we were doing, didn't want to listen. You know what she said? Come see. Well, that's a good idea. So we need to unlock the door of the human mind and come see. Go look. God said, if you don't think I'm real, come see. If you don't think I am God, that I sent my son to die for you, go watch him raise the dead. Go see what I can do for someone who believes. I wrote an article for June newsletter. Took me a whole day of wanting to get the article straight. And that article, that it was so difficult for me to write, that article, my friends, hit me right in the face. Because I knew when God is talking to me. I know, because I want to try to continue to study and find another way around what I need to say from God. But there is not another way. And one of the greatest sins I've committed here at Vine Grove Baptist Church and through my whole ministry is the one that I want to tell you about right now. Robbing my fellow man from the blessings by doing their calling for them. That's wrong. God has mightily blessed your pastor and you. Why do I think I have a right to rob you of God's blessing? And the more that I would take up and to do for someone else is the more that I'm cheating the blessing that God had for that individual. Thomas, one of the disciples, hard-headed man again, didn't believe. 3 solid years they watched Jesus raise the dead, blind to see, lame walking, deaf hearing. Thomas said, I will not believe it until I put my hands in the holes in his. I put my hand in the hole in the side because I saw him do that. But I saw him at a distance. John 20, verse 29. As Jesus stood before Thomas, he said, go ahead, Thomas. Put your hand in the holes in mine. Here's my side. Put your hand there. Do you know what Thomas said? My Lord and my God, I believe. But I want you to listen to the blessing you and I get out of that. Are you ready? Listen to it. John 20, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you believed. Now listen to the rest of it. And this is to be taken this way. How much more blessed? If we will do that today, how much more blessed? And he says, how much more blessed or blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed? Did you know that's us, Christian? I have not physically got to see Jesus yet. I believe. Where does that belief come from? I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. You see, that's what makes us right. It's the good news. And if you don't believe the good news, Larry, how can you preach it? Are we going to be the doubting Thomases? Oh, let me tell you right now, none of the disciples got it right. The only one that came close was John the Beloved, who ended up being the penman of the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ and much, much more. That's my blessing. What right do I have to rob you of yours? Is it not easier when you have a child to give that child what they want so you don't have to listen to them? Are we not in that generation? Yet we allow them to have things because we don't want to do our parenting? Or we don't want to argue with them where they're going out to that night? Do you have to know every place I'm going? You're under my roof, I will. I don't care how old you are. You and I have a responsibility to one another. Now, you can't bear my load. No. you can't even help me with it. What you do is pray to God that I'm doing it right. I've listened to man too many times. I've went the wrong way when I listened. Do you know, though, not one time I've ever listened to the Word of God, knowing I believe it, that God did not pull me through. That's my hope. Here's your mission and mine. You ready? Matthew 28, 19, 20. Jesus says, now, therefore, go. Actually, I'll tell you this so we can understand it better. Actually, it says, as you go. Meaning Jesus said, as you go, here's what I want you to do. He wasn't saying, therefore, go. He said, as you go, I expect you to go. I expect you to do what I've called you to do. I expect you to be the person that I've called you to be. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. I want to say this in closing. If I didn't know this to be completely factual with God, I wouldn't take time preaching. If I didn't think that God could hold on to me despite all my faults and failures, why would I talk about Him? Here's the truth. Those who reject Jesus Christ, do not accept Him as Lord and Savior of their life, they will not die the death like you're talking or thinking about. Christians, during the resurrection, those in Christ will rise first to go and be with the Lord where He is. But the lost can't die. See, the great blessing I have of knowing is this. This body is going to die. But until it does, I'm trapped right in here. I'm in here. I'm trapped. So therefore, I better do something with it, right? I better put the brakes on when I need to put the brakes on. But a lost person, the Scripture says that during that resurrection, do you know that they're resurrected in the human condition? The Scripture tells us that we're resurrection and given a glorified body, meaning like Jesus. No, that's why it's so awful. For they will feel the human pain forever and ever and ever, not ever able to die. God said they'll call for the rocks and the mountains to cover them. Won't happen. They'll try to hide. They'll beg for death, but death will not come. So should I not take the message God has given me to heart? If I tell you that I love you, why would I foolishly try to make you feel good by telling you a lie? I don't have that right. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death, burial, resurrection. The good news. Larry, you never die. And you know Jesus will never love me any more than He loves me right now. I can't do enough to earn His love. He said, I just love you, Larry. You're really not that lovable, but I love you. Think of that. That's God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You, Father, that You have brought peace to the hearts of those who believe. Father, I pray that You will help the disbelief of those who refuse to accept Your truth so they can have hope. Give us peace now, Father, as we serve You, as we minister in Your name. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.